You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Are we potentially going to see another one of those boat parades next season? Looks like the Bucks are trying to run it back. And might seem a little far-fetched, but if they keep signing these guys back like they've been, it actually might happen. We're going to get into that. Can the Bucks actually repeat as Super Bowl champs? One person on this show says, yeah, probably. Another person says, no, it's not that easy. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. Dan Orlovsky is here today. We got Marcus Spears and Dan Graziano. Guys, let's dive into the latest with the champs and all these moves that they continue to make as we continue on here. I mean, they said they were all coming back. It sounded nice. Now a combo of sorcery and selflessness. The Bucs are basically all coming back to see if they can win it again. According to Adam Schefter, defensive tackle and Donovan Sue finalizing a $10 million deal to come back, and the Bucs extended offensive tackle Donovan Smith on a two-year $31.8 million deal, also reported by Adam Schefter. So with the re-signing of Sue, the Buccaneers are now slated to return 21 of 22 starters from Super Bowl 55. Running back Leonard Fournette right now the only remaining free agent that they'd want to target. Tampa Bay's 21 starters returning would tie the 2011 Packers for the most returning starters for a Super Bowl winner in the salary cap era since 1994. Now, remember, that 2011 Packers team went on to post a 15-1 record before falling short in the divisional round of the playoffs. So, Graz, they made all these contracts work somehow. What does it all mean?
Well, you might, from those highlights we saw at the beginning of the show, you might think the Buccaneers spent all their money on alcoholic beverages, but they didn't. They're actually bringing back the team that won the Super Bowl pretty much whole hog. I mean, this is... They were able to adjust some contracts, extend Tom Brady, extend Levante David, re-sign Shaq Barrett. They've used some mechanisms the Buccaneers don't traditionally use, like these void years that a lot of teams are using on the tail ends of contract, that dump dead money cap hits into future years. This has been something the Buccaneers have avoided in years past, but they did it this year for Brady, for Levante David, for the Barrett deal, because they are so determined to try and keep this team together in a year where the salary cap dropped. And Laura, so far, they have pulled it off.
Yeah, the Buccaneers have the hardest thing to get in the NFL. That's a we over me culture. Right. I mean, and yes, Tom Brady deserves some credit for that. There's no question about it. So does Levante David for taking less than he could have. So does Chris Godwin for signing his franchise tag instead of holding out. Rob Gronkowski taking less. Sue taking less. It's rare. What has happened over the last 2 months in Tampa is rare. It's the hardest thing to get in the NFL. And I think what's happened is these players tasted winning. They tasted championships. As a competitor, that is the thing that is the most intoxicating aspect of playing sports. Winning, wanting more. There's never enough. Once you win once, you want it again. And you want to keep doing it. And these players, every one of them, their general manager, Jason Light, their head coach, Bruce Arians, their coordinators, Todd Bowles and Bruce Byron Leftwich, all these players that have taken less, they tasted winning at the highest level, and they want more. And that's why they've been able to keep the band together.
So, Marcus, can they get more? Can this Buccaneers team repeat now that they keep bringing all these guys back?
They can repeat. I mean, look, everybody has an opportunity to win the Super Bowl before the season starts. But obviously, we know teams are more positioned and well positioned to win. And that's what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are. They are well positioned to be right back in that game next year. Now, obviously, we're talking about NFL football. We're talking about not only the war of attrition with injuries, but other teams identifying things that they need to do in order to beat you. It's harder to stay on the top of the mountain than to climb to the top of the mountain. That is why you don't see teams repeating in the NFL like we think some should, right? All of the runs that Belichick and Brady had and won all of those Super Bowls, there were teams in the midst of that winning Super Bowls as well. We just forget to mention them in that long run. Look at Kansas City. They got back there. They lost. Like, this is what happens. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have positioned themselves in order to be in the conversation leading into the preseason. And for everything that we think, they will have a good enough team to get there again. They are living luxury right now.
Mm-hmm. I love that word. First of all, 21 out of 22 starters back, two, they're going to be better. Especially if they draft their general manager, Jason Light, if he drafts this year like he has the last 3 years, they will get a bunch of good players. They're getting to draft with luxury rather than necessity. Look at these last three drafts. 7 out of the 8 first or second round picks in the last 3 years have become impactful players. Think last year, Tristan Wirfs, Antoine Winfield Jr. 2 years ago. Look at those are the first three rounds. I mean, we're talking about a team that has got that many starters back from the Super Bowl team, and they don't have to go into the draft going, we got a hole. We have a need. They can draft out of luxury. And if Jason Light, they have 7 picks this year, 1 in each round. If he gets the players that he has in the first 3 rounds, like he has in the last 3 years, this team is going to be better than it was last year. They get to draft out of luxury rather than necessity.
Yeah, Dio, and listen, this is an opportunity, right? We have all of these narratives going around in the NFL right now about quarterbacks being taken and having the opportunity to sit back, learn, and watch things develop. And teams and organizations have an opportunity to watch them to develop. A guy that comes to my mind is Kyle Trask. We keep talking about all of these quarterbacks.
Point.
He had a great year at the University of Florida this year. He would have the opportunity to sit behind Tom Brady and Bruce Arians and Byron Leftwich and that coaching staff and be in that culture without any pressure to play.
No doubt.
None whatsoever outside of Tom Brady having an injury or them being up by a lot and he comes in and has an opportunity to get time. This is where you are right now, Tampa. You are in a better position than 95% of the teams in the NFL because you already field the team that can win a Super Bowl, as they proved. But you also have draft picks in order to solidify positions, create depth, maybe find the quarterback that's going to lead you after Tom Brady as well. Kyle Trask is a guy that came to my mind thinking about the luxury and the opportunity they have in this draft.
Yeah, one thing I want to hit on, because I think it's a great point by you, is you can go there as a quarterback and develop without the pressure to win. So often, young quarterbacks coming into the NFL, they have to do two things at once. They got to develop as a quarterback from college to the NFL, while also the burden of, hey, you have to win us a game on Sunday. Those two things are nearly impossible to get done. So I think that point is huge, that the quarterback that goes there can just focus strictly on development rather than, hey, I got to do whatever it takes for us to win a game on Sunday.
And I think people kind of think about Kyle Trask and they think maybe he's a little bit of a statue in the pocket. This guy's actually pretty mobile within the pocket, a big body to try and bring down.
Yeah.
I think he's being a little bit undersold in this draft. People are focused more on Mac Jones. Kyle Trask has some Mac Jones similarities there. All right, let's get the latest news around the league with Dan Graziano, and we begin with T.Y. Hilton. What can you tell us, Graz?
Yeah, Laura, really within the last hour, T.Y. Hilton back with the Indianapolis Colts, according to his agents. This is a move that probably would have been characterized as surprising if you'd said it a year ago, but T.Y. Hilton bounced back last year, had a productive year, and is now back in Indianapolis to continue that role along with the young receivers there for new quarterback Carson Wentz. Hilton back to Indianapolis. James White, according to our Jeremy Fowler, is re-signing with the New England Patriots. Pass-catching running back, obviously a big part of what they do in the run game, in the passing game, and a help for Cam Newton or whoever ends up being the starting quarterback in New England this year. White was a free agent, decided he would return home to New England. As we head into the offseason, the NFL and the NFLPA are negotiating, just starting negotiations on how that offseason is going to work. Remember last year, all the OTAs and mini camps were virtual because of the pandemic. So with the pandemic still ongoing, there's a likelihood that it will have to be virtual again, or at least a good chunk of it. The players would like it to be all virtual. J.C. Treader, the NFLPA president, has been vocal about wanting to continue some of last offseason's the way last offseason worked into the future, even once the pandemic is over. So those negotiations are getting started here in the next few days and weeks. And the NFL Finance Committee approved a debt waiver that will allow Washington football team owner Daniel Snyder to effectively double his share of ownership in the team from 40.5% to about 81%. Owners will have to vote on this at the meeting they're having next week. He'll need 24 out of 32, but he had some minority partners that wanted out. Obviously been a rough year off the field for that organization, and he will be able to accommodate them by buying their shares.
All right, Graz with us all show long. More news and notes coming your way on NFL Live.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. How about a free agent you're watching? Dan Graziano, start us off.
Malik Hooker. This guy was the 15th pick in the draft 4 years ago. He doesn't even turn 25 years old until next Friday. Of course, he has been injured way too much since he's been in the league, which is why he's a free agent in the first place. But someone, if they can keep him healthy, could get a steal. He's visiting the Dallas Cowboys this week. We'll see where that goes.
Well, I think about the ascension of players around Aaron Donald, but this guy held his own for a long time in this league. Geno Atkins to the Rams and put him inside with Aaron Donald, newly signed Leonard Floyd, and watch this pass rush continue to be the same. And remember, Michael Brockers walked, went to Detroit. They have a hole at the D-tackle spot.
Yeah, that's a good point. I love that one. I'm going to go Alex Smith down to Jacksonville. Alex Smith would provide invaluable experience an invaluable impact. They're going to take Trevor Lawrence. The transition from college football to the NFL is very difficult for players, no matter how talented they are. Alex would have benefit, would benefit Alex Smith so much in the now and also in the long term of his career.
Let's talk Jacksonville a little bit. We kind of thought the Jaguars would make a big splash in free agency, mainly because they had the most cap space. And Patriots stole the show there with all their signings. While the Jags did add some pieces, Shaq Griffin, Marvin Jones Jr., Rashawn Jenkins. They didn't necessarily, though, get a huge name player. But new head coach Urban Meyer had this to say about the free agency process.
Yeah, that was awful. I don't agree with it, but no one asked my opinion. You know, I guess the old days you could bring him in and meet them, have dinner with them, and find out the football intellect, find out the character. And that was awful. That I don't believe it should be that way. Not when you're making organizational decisions. I'm not sure how that rule came about, but that's, you know, that to me, that's not good business.
All right, so Urban Meyer doesn't like free agency. By the way, he's the latest NFL head coach to make the jump directly from college. Now, look, we're just looking at history here. It's shown us that Meyer may have a tough road ahead. Since 2000, 11 first-time NFL head coaches have made the jump from directly from college, excluding Meyer. Of those 11, only three post winning records with the teams that hired them. That's Bill O'Brien, Chip Kelly, and Jim Harbaugh. I think he knows this is difficult, maybe part of the reason why he wasn't a huge fan of free agency. But Graz, Urban really hates it. That still didn't stop him, though, from signing guys.
Right? What would he have done if he liked it? That, I mean, he would have signed everybody, right? He signed 11 guys. You know, he did everything in free agency. They franchised somebody. They franchised their left tackle, Cam Robinson. They played at the top of the market for guys like Shaq Griffin. They got some mid-range guys like Carlos Hyde. You mentioned Marvin Jones. So, to me, I mean, that was a team that looked like it was enjoying every single bit of free agency. I understand Urban Meyer's point, which is it sounds crazy to sign guys to multi-million dollar long-term contracts. We've never met them in person, but that is the way of it these days, and it didn't seem to slow him down.
I mean, it's not college. Like, you don't have an opportunity to meet him, especially in this climate. And I understand it from the standpoint of trying to do more due diligence, but this is free agency in the NFL. There is a clamoring to sign guys before other teams sign them. There is a rushed process to this, especially with guys that are out there. So, look, this, it's money involved. It's families that need to be taken care of. It's futures that need to be decided. A lot of these guys and their agents have an idea of what things will look like and what teams they're interested in as well. So this is one of the things that Urban Meyer is going to have to deal with as long as he's the coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Outside of probably having these guys be able to visit and spend a little bit more time, but it's still going to be fast. Teams are jockeying for position. We are going crazy and lauding the New England Patriots for getting off to a fast start and signing a lot of players. We just came off of talking about Tampa keeping their guys. You don't think other teams wanted those players? This is the process, Urban. One of the other things you're going to have to adjust to being in the NFL.
Yeah, it's interesting because I feel like, too, in the NFL, the reputations of guys on the field, off the field, what they're like as a teammate is out there. A lot of people kind of know it. So whether you get the player or not, you're already at least somewhat familiar if you've been around for a little while, which is something that, you know, maybe down the road Urban Meyer has more familiarity with these guys. Dan, what should the Jaguars' priority be now?
Discipline. Organizational discipline. And being patiently impatient. The first thing is to realize you can build a team via free agency. You cannot build an organization via free agency. Now, the discipline has to come from everybody. It has to come from the owner. It has to come from the general manager, and it has to come from the head coach. This is doing it the long way, the hard way. The patiently impatient is going to be drafting well and developing well, but also working with urgency. I had a coach teach me that very early on. You've got to work with urgency because you never know when the opportunity is going to present itself that all of a sudden your football team is better than you expected, or your players developed quicker than you thought, or that third round pick is actually a superstar. So you have to be ready for when the moment for your organization to take the next step is needed, but also patient in understanding that you aren't going to build a winner in 12 months. You're not just going to throw a bunch of Band-Aids on the Jacksonville organization and all of a sudden get good. This is going to take a slow burn by everyone in that organization, but it's going to take discipline from everybody to see what the long-term goal, what the best long-term goal in Jacksonville is.
Quickly, how long is the slow burn, Dan? Like, how long are they? How far away are they, basically?
I think they're at least 2 years away. I think this is at least two good years of drafting well away to becoming, all right, can we win every week? Can you go into every single game and realistically think, we've got the team that's capable of going to win this football game. 2 years.
Urban Meyer holds the third best win percentage in the FBS all time. He has won at every level prior to this, but this is a different level.
No doubt.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Every week, as part of Women's History Month here on NFL Live, we honor women who are making a difference in the NFL. And today we focus on some of the women who have broken barriers covering the NFL as part of the Walt Disney Company. We start with Leslie Visser, the first woman assigned to Monday Night Football and the first to report from the sidelines at Super Bowl 29. Leslie also became the first female journalist enshrined into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a 2006 Pete Rozelle Award recipient. Andrea Kramer joined her in the hall, receiving the same award in 2018, and Andrea became ESPN's first female reporter regularly covering the NFL in 1989. Robin Roberts joined ESPN in 1990, becoming the company's first black female anchor, and Robin also became the first woman to host an NFL pregame show during the playoffs before going on to host NFL primetime for several years. Beth Mowins covers many events for us here at ESPN, including the NFL. In 2017, she became the first woman to handle play-by-play duties for a nationally televised Monday Night Football game, calling the action between the Broncos and the Chargers. And you know our friend Susie Kalber, host of Monday Night Countdown. She contributes to Super Bowl and NFL draft coverage. Perhaps you didn't know, though, she was the first female recipient of the Maxwell Football Club Sports Broadcaster of the Year Award. These women continue to be role models for so many in the industry and beyond. Yesterday, ESPN senior draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. released his mock draft 3.0. He projected four quarterbacks to go in the top four picks, which includes The Panthers trading up for Justin Fields, number 3 overall, who you just saw. If this were to happen, it would mark the first time in NFL draft history that the first 4 picks were all quarterbacks. Dan, you're familiar with Justin Fields. You called his games. You've watched a ton of his film. You like what you see there.
Love. Art. All right. One of the questions that needs to get answered for you to be an early draft pick at that position and go to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL is, when it's a mess around you, are you good enough? Are you special enough to overcome it? You're going to hear a lot of games about Justin Fields. I'm going to take you to Michigan State last year. I called this game for college football for us. He had like 25 starters out this game. Whole offensive line was out. Going into the game, I said, all right, if you're as special as people say you are, prove it. Snaps were all over the place. This young man completed over 70% of his passes, threw for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. Ran for over 100 yards, 2 more touchdowns. 300 yards of offense and 4 touchdowns. Michigan State was solid. And I just watched this young guy go, I got it. Everybody's out. Ride my back. I'm good enough. And in that game, in that moment, I said, you proved it. This is what it looks like to be elite at the next level. That's the game that if I want to figure out who Justin Fields is, cut on that Michigan State game and watch him carry his football team when everything around him was decimated.
Well, listen, I want to go back to something you said and something I pressed you on about Trey Lance. D.O., I damn sure want to fix Justin Field flaws because the ups and the talent, I'm drafting that, right? So when you look at Carolina and you think about Matt Rhule, who's been committed to for a long time by Tepper, the owner, who is not afraid to spend money, who thinks that this franchise is very, very close to being really, really good, which I believe it as well.
Okay.
And you think about this team and how close they were in so many games last year. You bring in that athleticism, the ability to grow and mature in that environment with Joe Brady as your offensive coordinator, home run for the Carolina Panthers.
I like
this. This is like, if you can get to 3, this is the best move of the draft. Because I still can't understand for the life of me why Justin Fields isn't the second-ranked quarterback in this draft behind Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and so much of this, when they do their mock drafts at Mel and Todd, it's about what they think the teams are going to do, right? Not even how they would rank the quarterbacks. But to your point, Marcus, that is kind of confusing to a lot of us. All right, let's talk about Trey Lance. And we'll start with you here, Graz, because in Mel's latest mock draft, he has Atlanta at 4 taking Trey Lance. But what's the situation with Matt Ryan's contract?
Well, Laura, the Falcons recently restructured Matt Ryan's contract to save about $14 million in cap space this year. But as a result, they take a big hit next year. You see that cap hit next year, 48.7, and 40.5 if they were to trade or release him. So what they've done is make it much more difficult for themselves to move on from Matt Ryan after this year than it was before the restructure. Doesn't mean they can't. Because we've seen teams, the Rams and the Eagles most prominently, do things with dead money numbers and quarterbacks this offseason that were unheard of a year or two ago. But the contract makes it more difficult. So if Atlanta were to draft a quarterback at number 4, it's probably someone who has to sit for 2 years as opposed to just 1.
I mean, Trey Lance is only 20 years old. I kind of like him sitting for a couple years. But this is really hard to figure out, Dan. I think if you think about it, like, you're not that high in the draft that often.
Right.
What do you do here if you're Atlanta?
I don't know. And I hate that. Because I hate it. I hate
always know.
Soft on television.
You're so soft.
People
right
at
now.
Home are sitting there like, shut this. I hate it because you're soft. Come out and make a statement. I don't know what Atlanta should do. I go back and forth. I look at this team and I go, they're better than the record was last year. They had 12 losses. But 6 of those losses are by 4 points or less. They lost 3 games that they had a 99.9% chance to win that football game in and lost 3 of them. So then that tells me, go draft an impactful player. Still got Matt Ryan to Grez's point for at least 2 years, more than likely contractually. Go draft a good player because you're better than what your record was last year. But then I'm also the person that is from the same school that says, draft a quarterback when you don't need to. Because so often young quarterbacks go in the NFL to bad teams and that's why they struggle. But look at a Lamar Jackson, a Patrick Mahomes, a Josh Allen. They went to good football teams, and they're excelling. So that tells me, Atlanta, take the quarterback at 4 and let him sit behind Matt Ryan for a year or two. Because then when that quarterback does have to play, He's got a good football team around him. I don't know what they should do. I'm torn. I hate it because I like going on television and being convicted about something.
I got your back. I'm not torn. Layup. This is easy. Take him. If I go to the Bentley dealership and it's the price of a Mazda, I'm going to buy the Bentley. Wait, Trey Lance has an opportunity
to sit behind
Matt Ryan, learn this game with a good roster, with people around him, and just take advantage of what we've seen quarterbacks do. Everybody remember when Patrick Mahomes was sitting behind Alex Smith?
Right.
That was already a good Kansas City Chiefs football team. Y'all remember when Aaron Rodgers was sitting behind Brett Favre and then Green Bay just made a move to sit Jordan Love behind him? This is a luxury as well. You have a guy you feel you can win with in Matt Ryan, but you also have the opportunity to draft the future of the most important position in professional sports to give yourself a window to see if he can be the guy to lead you further into what you want to do as an Atlanta Falcons organization. This is so easy, and I get it. I understand if somebody can be confused. I get it, D.O., but that's why I'm here to have your back. If Trey Lance is sitting there and you can draft him and not have to start or play him and develop that talent behind Matt Ryan, no brainer.
But hey, this is
none
where I'm going to push
whatsoever.
Back. This is where I'm going to push back. Because then what happens if you get to the end of December next year and you're 10-6 and you miss the playoffs by a game, or you're 9-7 and miss the playoffs by a game? Then you're going to sit there and you're going to watch a player like a Jamar Chase or a Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts goes somewhere and he lights up the league next year. You're going to sit there if you're in Atlanta, and Matt Ryan's going to sit there and go, we were 9-7 and our tight ends had 25 catches. You should have gotten me Kyle Pitts. And then now as a head coach in an organization, you're sitting there going, did we miss the chance to get into the playoffs because we took a guy that we were in the future? That's where I get like back and forth on this situation.
Let me add one other thing in
D.O.
here. Oh, go ahead, Marcus.
Go ahead, Els. You got
well,
it.
I was just going to say, like, what if you're the Falcons, you got that 4 pick, but maybe you really like Justin Fields. And listen, Trey Lance is super talented, but that gets interesting, too. If you're going to decide you're going to pick a quarterback.
Do you go up, you're saying?
Do you go up? I don't know. I mean, that just occurred to me as we're talking through this. It might make sense if you're really committed to drafting a quarterback this year and you look toward the next year's draft, you say, my quarterback is in this class, might need to even go up if you're going to stick with it. Okay, we have to go to break.
It's a similar.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Oh, okay.
We have to go. All right, fine. We're going to break. We'll be right back.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Hey, Jameis Winston will return to the Saints on a 1-year deal. An excellent chance to revitalize his career. Sean Payton seems committed to helping Winston flourish. Maybe, just maybe, they can limit some of those turnovers, unleash the game-changing talent in New Orleans. Winston says he's ready for a QB competition either way.
I embrace every competition. And I know Taysom is a competitive guy as well. And that's why I'm going to leave that. I'm excited to begin back with this team. And being around him, being in that room with him again, competing, challenging each other, and leading a team to where we want to be, because I know that's what we both want.
Marcus, is Jameis the guy in New Orleans?
I believe so, and I believe this too. Jameis Winston can get fixed by Sean Payton when it comes to turnovers. And once you unlock that and he doesn't turn the football over, he's a top 5 talent in the NFL operating at that position. We all have seen it. And also, I believe Sean Payton train of thought is, I like Taysom Hill in the Swiss Army knife role. I like the challenges that he presents to defenses outside of just standing in the backfield being a quarterback. So when I look at this situation, it is very easy for me to see how this should play out based on Jameis obviously performing well throughout the offseason and putting himself in position to be the starter. I think that's going to be the case, and I believe the Saints are going to be better for it. with Taysom Hill being in the role that we've seen him in, and that is the best situation for this team to win football games.
Yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston being the guy in New Orleans comes down to 3 seconds. Jameis saving his career and having a great season, and the Saints' future at the quarterback will come down to 3 seconds next season. I'm not just saying that to be hyperbolic. It is going – I just found out what that meant today. It is going to come down to those 10 to 12 plays throughout the season that are those split-second decisions where he makes those mistakes. Can Sean Payton get those out of him? Over the course of a 500 or 600 pass attempt season, can he get rid of those 10 to 12 that are stupid? That split-second decision where, why did you throw that ball late and behind the receiver? Or why did you have to launch that ball downfield instead of taking the check down? Or why did you try to force it into that window in that split second instead of throwing the ball away? Or just taking a sack or forcing it in the red zone? If Sean Payton can get rid of those 10 to 12 split-second decisions that will add up to 3 seconds over the course of a season, Jameis Winston is going to revitalize his career. And Sean Payton's going to find the future quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Easier said than done. It is brutally hard to actually get that done.
Right.
But Jameis Winston has never had this support to actually see if he can do it.
And, Dio, to expound on what you're saying, and I've known what expound means for a long time, Jameis Winston having a year to sit and watch Sean Payton and Drew Brees operate is probably the most, not probably, is the most valuable thing in his career thus far. He's had the opportunity to play. He knows what Sundays are like. He knows what preparation goes into a game. Now that's been taken to another level. You were around one of the greatest to ever play the position, along with a coach that has a proven track record of putting quarterbacks in great positions. What did we talk about with Drew Brees last year? The arm strength is not there.
Right.
And he can't push the ball. We talked about air yards. Drew Brees made a career on playing mistake-free football.
Exactly.
Right? The one game this year in the playoffs got him. He turned the football over against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But that was totally outside of what we had grown accustomed to with Drew Brees. I believe Sean Payton is going to take this as a personal challenge to make sure people remember why Jameis Winston was the first overall pick. I can't wait to watch it, man. I want to see the competition play out. I want to more so see Jameis Winston operating Sean Payton's offense and see how those two work together.
Real quick, first time Sean Payton's going to be a head coach for the season without Drew Brees as his starting quarterback. To your
Something
point,
to watch.
Personal challenge. Yep.
Yeah. Hey, guys, that was our best segment ever. Hyperbolic. I just wanted to say it myself. All right.
That's unnecessary to mock my, like, that's unnecessary.
All right, Dan Graziano, let's get Graz in here for some news around the league. Let's start with some quarterbacks, and let's start with Joe Flacco.
Joe Flacco is going to be a Philadelphia Eagle, signs with the Eagles to be back up to Jalen Hurts, assuming they don't draft a guy. We know the Eagles quarterback situation always in flux, but Joe Flacco heads there as the backup. Remember, Flacco's a South Jersey kid, and what that means is when you're thirsty, you have a drink of water and you root for the Eagles. Joe Flacco playing for his hometown team that he grew up rooting for. Marcus Mariota, the Raiders backup. They spent some time this offseason trying to trade him, but the contract prevented that. It was a possibility they'd release him. What happened is the Raiders and Mariota have agreed on a restructured contract that involves a pay cut. Mariota's pay going down from $10.5 million to about $3.5 million. He can earn a lot of it back in incentives if he plays, but Mariota staying with the Las Vegas Raiders. And new Detroit Lions quarterback Jared Goff has restructured his contract to save the Lions $15 million in cap space this year. This was an expected move after the trade was finalized. They had to wait until Goff was actually on the roster, which wasn't until last Wednesday, in order to do it. And, you know, to that end, don't be surprised if the other end of that deal, Matthew Stafford, does something similar now that he's with the Rams. And Laura, I'm just very excited I got through that, putting those two guys on the right team, because I was sure I was going to mess that up.
I know. It's hard to keep it all straight these days. A lot of moves happening. Great stuff, Graz.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tua Tagovailoa got off to a hot start in his rookie season, leading Miami to a 4-1 record while throwing 7 touchdowns, no interceptions in his first 5 starts. Down the stretch, he did struggle, throwing 4 touchdowns to 5 interceptions in his last 4 starts. His QBR dropped by 25 over that span. In fact, no quarterback threw more interceptions than Tua in the final 4 weeks of last season. Context is important there, though. And here is Ryan Fitzpatrick talking about Tua on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Tua, it's amazing how much criticism and different things have been thrown his way. The guy was a rookie last year, and is, I think he has elite accuracy. And then he throws with anticipation, and that's something that's difficult that you don't see a lot with quarterbacks coming from college to the NFL. So I'm looking forward for big things for him. I think he's going to do great. And just in terms of being a leader on a team and a guy that people can follow, he has all those qualities. So I think we just need to have a little bit of patience. He was a rookie last year, and I think he's going to do great things.
You know, Fitzmagic has been around the league for a long time, right? He's seen a lot of quarterbacks. Yeah. And what he's saying there, I think, is really important context, Dan. He was referencing the criticism that Tua has faced.
Yeah.
What did you see out of Tua?
Listen, moving on, the conversation of moving on from Tua Tagovailoa is absurd and it's stupid. Because I need someone to tell me what he can't do. Because I can show you what he can do, what Fitz references with accuracy anticipation. He's got a sail and a flat route. This is a high-low. Now, there's subtlety into his game that is so special here. As those two receivers, one goes to the flat, one pushes vertical, you've got a drop-down safety in the middle and then a flat defender on that 40-yard line. You got to have vision on him to go, okay, can I get that flat defender to drive down with my feet and my body alignment, but also only take one hitch because the ball has to come out on time. But can I also do that by placing it in between a flat defender, trailing safety, and before that corner falls off? That's what Fitzy is referencing when he's talking about elite accuracy in anticipation. That subtlety that he has of, I'm going to hitch that way and align my body to the flat, but then get the ball out on time to the opening that I opened up with my body alignment. And the problem is this, and I love Patrick Mahomes, it's his fault.
Yeah.
Because every team thinks, well, if my quarterback's not Patrick Mahomes, he stinks. And Patrick is special. So I love the fact that Fitz is like, just be patient. Tua is great at so many things. Yeah. I need someone to tell me what he can't do. If you're going to tell me he can't throw downfield, who you want him to throw downfield to? Devontae Parker played like 10 games. Okay? He was really good last year. A year after an injury where the question was, is he going to walk again? With no offseason, below average offensive line, and below average skill position people. He was really good. Patience.
I don't think people realize how injured he actually was. To your point, Dan, trying to figure out if he could walk again, much less play football.
Right.
And then he is coming from college after not playing many games in that last season in college. One thing to note here, Mel's latest mock draft actually has them getting Jalen Waddle. So maybe a weapon there that would make a big difference. Mm. But Marcus, is this the right fit? Is Tua the right fit in your mind for the Miami Dolphins?
Tua is the right fit unless they can get Russell Wilson. And, right, I'm stating the obvious, but this is something that could potentially happen in Miami. And I think Tua would be served well either place, either in Seattle or in Miami. But I think about what teams are doing in the AFC East. I don't know how much time you have to develop a quarterback the way that the Buffalo Bills with Josh Allen, and obviously we saw what New England did, who's going to be in the hunt for a quarterback as well. But when you bring Russell Wilson's name into the conversation, obviously that's an upgrade over most young quarterbacks. But Tua in Seattle, I would not be mad at that. I would not be mad at Tua's ability and anticipation and playing with great players before and being closer to the West Coast where his family is with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. And we know that they want to run the football and be a well-balanced team. So I think both situations would be good for Tua and good for Russell Wilson and good for both of these organizations if that ever came into play. But I'm with Dan. Don't be stupid when talking about Tua at the quarterback spot. It's just like with Jalen Hurts. Jalen showed us some things. He played four games.
Right.
Tua showed us some things. He played games, had to share time with Fitzpatrick, didn't have an offseason, COVID season. Everybody settled down.
I think you guys are on the right track, and that's the way the Dolphins are thinking. Look, you've got to leave yourself open to any possibility. It's a crazy mixed-up world. You can turn on NFL Live someday and hear vocabulary lessons from football players.
You
could be the Miami Dolphins and find out that Russell Wilson is available. Or Deshaun Watson, obviously, before all the very serious stuff that's going on with him. We don't know how that's going to turn out. But other than if you can get a quarterback of that caliber, Miami is going to go with Tua, and they believe he's great. A year and a half ago, guys, we were talking about, are they losing games on purpose to get this guy?
Right.
He's their guy unless something falls out of the sky that is obviously much better.
Yeah. Oh, well, really fast, Dan, because we got to get to one more thing. But I just think, too, Justin Herbert's success is a big reason why people have put such a magnifying glass on Tua Tagovailoa. They're saying, well, this guy's the pick right after him. And, yeah, that makes sense. All right, one more thing before we go. Happy birthday to Peyton Manning. Let's go to Marcus Spears for a memory of Peyton as we celebrate his birthday.
Yo, so it was 2006, and I was enamored to be on the same football field with Peyton. This is my second year, and look at the 3-4.
Ooh.
This was considered a late hit on Peyton Manning.
Ooh,
okay,
get him. Ooh.
I don't know. Look at this. Look at this. This got called a penalty, y'all. I'm even mad now. I go up to the ref and ask him, "What the hell was that?" You know what the ref told me? "Hey, man, that's Peyton Manning. I don't even know your name."
No doubt, that's Peyton Manning.
So
you're not gonna win now.
So that's
buddy.
My Peyton Manning story. I gotta do one more thing. I gotta shout out my sister, my best friend, Letitia and Aaron Lee. They gave birth to their baby girl today, second child, Olivia Cameron. I'm so excited for y'all. Can't wait to see y'all. Trust, Uncle Swagoo will be sending a lot of gifts because I love spoiling babies, as Laura Rutledge knows through Reese.
Oh, yeah. Reese loves Marcus more than she loves me. That's my daughter, Reese, by the way. We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.